Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Russ Weaver.
And I'm Doug Davis.
We're at Doug's, it's your the church you pastor, it's Triad Cowboy Church.
Yes, sir.
And man, it's so fun to be at your church. I love your people.
They're wonderful people.
Yeah.
Great people.
We're going to be going into a situation where the message is called East of Galilee. We kind of cowboyed up the guy at the tomb. And we ran into the guy at the tomb last week, and he has this encounter with Jesus. So anything particular we need to be looking for, you think?
I think we need to be looking for what happened in his life and how that it, no matter how many demons and no matter how much the devil tried to prevent him from coming to Jesus, nothing could stop him. He had an opportunity to make a choice and choose Jesus, and when he did, why, his life changed forever.
And, you know, that's miraculous that those demons couldn't hold him back.
It is, absolutely.
So here's the deal. Here's what I want you looking for in the service today. As we're preaching this message, and you look at that and you think your life is a disaster, that the devil's keeping you from being anything that God wants you to be, that he cannot keep you from running to Jesus and worshiping him.
How true, how true. And I mean, when he came to Jesus, And he literally opened his heart to the Lord. And when it's so explained in Scripture what he became and how that God is bigger and more powerful than anything and everything that could prevent anyone from coming to Christ.
Man, maybe you ought to be preaching the message today.
No, sir.
Today.
I like the way you preach it.
I'm already lined up, so I get to preach to your people and be a part of this at Cowboy Church. We're looking so forward to this. Thank you so much for allowing us to be at your church this morning. Man, may God bless you. We're going to church, and we might as well get after it right now so we don't waste any more time at it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Russ.
This is another song that I love. I want you to listen to the words. I bet most of y'all have heard this. Old man Ridley lived in that white house down the street where I grew up. Mama used to send me over with things, and we struck a friendship up. We spent a few long lost summers out on his old porch swing. Said he was in the war with the Navy. He lost his wife, he lost his baby. I broke down and asked him one time, how'd you keep from going crazy? He said, oh, I'll see my wife and son one of these days. And I asked him what in the world he meant. He looked at me and smiled. He said, I raised my hands, I bowed my head. I'm finding more and more truth in the words written in red. They tell me that there's more to life than just what I can see. Oh, I believe. A few years later, I was off at college, talking to my mom on the phone late one night, getting all caught up on the gossip, the ins and outs of small town life. She said, oh, by the way, old man Ridley's died. I sat there thinking back on those summers sitting on his front porch. all the things we talked about. I didn't know whether to cry or laugh. But I knew this one thing. If there was anybody that deserved a ticket to that other side, it'd be that sweet old man who looked me in the eye and said, I raise my hands, I bow my head, I'm finding more truth in the words written in red. They tell me that there's more to life than just what I can see. I can't quote the book, the chapter or the verse, but you can't tell me it all ends in a slow ride in a hearse. The more and more and more convinced, the longer that I live. Oh, this can't be, yeah, this can't be, no, this can't be.
If your life is a train wreck and you've tried to mess up every situation you've ever been in, you've tried to destroy your family, you've let the devil in hell come in and wreck your marriage, you can come to God. If you've been using excuse after excuse after excuse, this passage of scripture just shoots all those excuses right through the dead center of their forehead. Those excuses are now dead, thanks to the sheriff. The man with the demons is set free. And then the encounter. The demons beg. They said, please don't torment us. And Jesus is the only one who can deal with the devil. Guys, don't even try negotiating with the devil. I don't care how good a horse trader you are. You're going to lose. Just don't mess with him. Let God mess with him. Amen. And Jesus says to the devil, he said, what do you want? And they said, man, we kind of like pigs. If that doesn't give you an idea, the filthy things of the world, I think pigs are the filthiest. You know the old saying, you can wash a pig up, but you can't keep him from being a pig. He's going to go lay right back down on the slop. These demons jumped in the pigs, and the pigs couldn't even stand it. They just couldn't stand it. They went right off the cliff, drowned themselves, 2,000 pigs. I think, oh, that's wonderful, that's wonderful. No, it's not. You realize that there's somebody that was in the agriculture business right there that just lost his shirt. And here it is. It says, come out of that man. Please don't send us out of the country. Send us to the pigs. And 2,000 pigs destroyed somebody's income. And they went from the cliffs to the water. But I can tell you, in the middle of all of the destruction of everything that you might think is destroying you, God can use every one of those situations to bring about what God needs to bring about in your life.
Amen.
Instead of us resenting all the things that God does to us, look forward. The Christian way of looking at things is we begin to look forward to, how's God going to straighten this out?
Right.
Man, it's the miraculous. I was in the hospital with a broken pelvis, 2018. I thought I died. They had me on the care flight. I was bleeding out. My horse bucked with me, and I landed on the horse, and it broke my pelvis. He got me up in the air, and the ground would have been a lot nicer, but I missed the ground and landed on my horse's saddle. And in the helicopter, I thought I died. He'd given me some stuff, and I just started to lose it, and all of a sudden everything just went black, and the corners of the roof just went, and I thought, I died. I still remember this. I died. And first thing that went through my mind is, I didn't think I was hurt that bad. And the second thing that went through my mind, they have insurance on me for the church, a key man insurance. And I thought, well, at least we'll get that church paid off. Seriously, it's funny. I always wondered what it'd be like to die. And now I know, it's not so bad. But the things that God can use and God can do through all of that, I'm in the middle of that hospital, and now I'm in a lot of pain. I'm in the 7 days in the trauma care unit. And God did a work in me, but they didn't have to pin me together or anything. It came back together, but they would get me up. They would take an x-ray and get me up and walk me to see if it was moving around. And it was painful. And then take another x-ray to see if it moved, you know. So I'd get that twice a day. They'd walk me down the hall with the broken pelvis and walk me back, and the bleeding had stopped. And it was, I remember one day I was in that, and is such, so there's not enough pain pills to kill it all. And I wasn't going to take too much of them because I didn't want to get addicted. You know, I'm in that middle of that thing there, and just the intensity of the whole thing. And I prayed and I said, God, don't let me hurt so bad that I miss what you're going to do here.
Yeah.
You said all things work together for the good. Don't let me hurt so bad that I miss it. Yeah. And in walks the x-ray technician, a little black girl. She had an African accent. And nobody else was there. She came in, she had to wait for the doctors and everybody, so they'd get me up and walk me before she could take the x-rays. And so she's waiting around, and I'm trying to be pleasant, you know. So I asked her, I said, where are you from? And she told me it was one of the African nations that I didn't recognize, and I couldn't pronounce if I did recognize it. And I said, well, what brings you to America? And she goes, well, in this heavy accent, she said, well, in Africa, I was an advocate for the unborn. And I came to America to get involved in medicine so that I could be effective. And she says, but I've been praying, but I just can't get connected here. I used to speak in churches in Africa, but since I've been to America, I haven't spoken any churches. And I said, well, tell me something about your, is it a ministry? She says, yes. I said, tell me something about your ministry. And she says this, she goes, do you know that when a baby is aborted, that the one who loses out the most is guess who? I said, I don't know. You're going to have to tell me. She goes, it's the man. I said, well, that would have been my third guess, because there's a man and a woman and a baby, and I would have thought that he would be the last one to lose out. He's the one that usually gets off scot-free. She goes, no, it's the man. I said, well, explain that to me. And she says, because when they abort that baby, he loses the people that is supposed to make up his kingdom. He's supposed to be the prophet, the priest, and the king of his family, and he has destroyed the people he gets to be ruler over under God's guidance. Whew. And she said it with that much conviction. And I said, so you know how to pray, right? And she goes, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I pray. I said, would you do me a favor? Would you pray for me? And she starts praying. And I'm telling you, she brought heaven down. You could hear her in the hallways, and there was a sacred hush hit that hospital. Oh, Father in heaven, you see this man, you see the things he's going through, you see the pain. And she started praying, and whew, man, she prayed heaven into that place. And I told her, I said, you may not have a church to preach in other than mine. But this was in May, and I said, we have Father's Day coming up, and my men need to hear your message. And I invited her to my church to tell the men the message that she had just told me. And I said, and I invited all the men to the front of the building. And I says, I didn't tell her this. I didn't tell you this. I didn't tell anybody this. But men, all the men to the front. If you'd like to come to the front, please do this. I want all the men to the front. This is not a request. This is an order. If I've ever been in charge of anything in my life, I want men to the front. It's time. And every man in the church came to the front, and I turned to her and I says, I want you to pray for our men like you prayed for me. And man, she starts to pray again. She starts to pray that the men of our church will be the men of God and be the people that God called them to be to make a difference in their lives and in their families' lives, and to be the king and the prophet and the priest of their families. See, all things work together for good, even for the people who lost the pigs. Had a gal call us a few years back, and she goes, I don't know the Bible very good. I don't know how to be a witness because I just can't quote a lot of scriptures. I don't know how to witness to people. Well, I know her. She's the gal who introduced my wife and I. So we're friends. And I said, you've got enough to witness to anybody. And she goes, how? I said, your testimony. I know what God did for you. You know what God did for you. You tell them. See, the people of the world, they can argue theology with you, but nobody can argue your testimony. Amen. Is yours. You want to know how to witness to people? Just tell them what God did for you. When they start to argue with you, let them. And when they get done with their argument, just say, all I know is, I was once this way, now I'm this way, and the difference is Jesus. It's enough. We're going to close the service with this. I hate to go through a service without giving people a chance to commit their life to Jesus Christ. So we're going to do this. The Bible says that you only have to do a couple things. It says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Well, what do you confess? Confess that you're a sinner. Confess that you need a Savior. And ask him to come live in your life. It's just that easy. So what I like to do, instead of making a big deal out of it, you don't have to come to the front to get saved. You don't have to have some big, all you have to do is pray the prayer. So I like the idea of all of us praying together so that anybody who wants to pray that prayer doesn't feel out of place. If you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart, I want you to just pray this prayer with me. It's really simple. We're all gonna help you. We're gonna pray it out loud. I'm gonna lead it, you repeat it. All you have to do, if you believe in your heart, that's the part you add to it as we pray. Believe that Jesus can do for you what he did for that man who was full of the demons. You run to him. And whatever your situation is, say, Russ, you don't know what kind of demons I'm having to deal with. I don't care. It doesn't matter to God. Right. I don't care if you don't have any demons. You're just a knucklehead. I don't care if you're the nicest guy in the world, you just never accepted Jesus, it doesn't matter. All you got to do is run to him. But you got to be saved. And so we're going to pray this prayer, and you're going to help me. You're going to help everybody here. We're going to pray the prayer together, and it's really simple. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your head bowed, your eyes closed for just a minute. I'm going to talk to you for just a second. Those of you who have just committed your life to Christ, you're in for an experience. But please don't think that you're going to be perfect right now. It's a process. The Bible says you've been born again. You're brand new. You people are agriculture people. You know how to handle babies. You know how to take care of babies. I've seen your kids here. You guys know how to take care of babies. You got to understand that if you've prayed this prayer, spiritually, you are a baby in Christ. So allow yourself to be a baby in Christ. How's that? Humble yourself. Humble yourself and say, I need help living for God. I need somebody to take me under their wing. I need to talk to the pastor about this, or I need to talk to the person who brought me. I need help for the next little while so that I can be all that I can be. I want to get a good start. I want to mature good. I want a good diet so that I grow up. Allow yourself to be a baby. Commit your life to Christ. Commit your walk to Christ and get somebody who can help you. Well, we've come to the end of another segment of Cowboy Church. Man, we're glad to have you with us. And Doug, thanks for co-hosting this program.
It has been our privilege, Russ. I just love the way that you took the scripture and helped us understand that anyone can be a witness. All you've got to do is talk about where you were before Jesus, who you are now, and that Jesus made the difference. And it's so simple that anyone in our church, anyone who's a believer in Jesus Christ, can absolutely share their faith. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to tell you something. We should all be challenged that our little testimony does make a big difference in people's lives. When we have a testimony, it's ours. People can't argue with what God has done with us. And so next week, we want you to come back with us. And what would be really nice is when you sit down in front of that TV next week, you can look in there and go, you know what? I talked to somebody about God this week and I was challenged. I'm coming back for more next week.
Great. Wonderful.
Thank you for your involvement with our Cowboy Church program. Thank you for just being supportive. We appreciate your finances, man. I hate to even mention finances, but it takes that to keep things going. And you've been so faithful to help us. And it's kept us on the air for almost 17 years now. You realize in 2 years, we will have been on as long as Gunsmoke.
Wow.
Yeah, 17 years of this. And we'd like to continue for several more years. There are 250,000 people listening to Cowboy Church every week now, and it's because of your faithfulness, and we thank you so much for that. We'll see you next week. May God bless you, and Roy Rogers had the happy trails, so happy trails to you.